is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
No, we're not exactly. Who was that mystery voice?
I know. Did you hear that? I was like, Mike, and you weren't at your mic, anyway.
And I wasn't moving my lips except to say that our show is brought to you by the Red Arrow Diners, Manchester Milford, and now open the drive-through version of the Red Arrow in Londonderry, right off exit 5, Route 93 in Londonderry. Also, Fallon's Furniture, official decorator of the Green Room, Food for Thought and Kale and Company, and our newest sponsors, Grasshopper's Garden Center, where the customer comes first. They are on New River Road in New Boston. And whenever you go into any of our sponsors, please let them know you heard it on The Pulse with Food for Thought, Carol and Mike.
There you go. And without any further ado, it is time for Donna in Delaware. Donna's Delights down in Delaware. And welcome back, Donna. How are you doing?
Hey, what you doing?
You just scared us.
Did I? What y'all doing in there?
But you know what?
Why
anytime
y'all scared? Don't
when
be
you
scared.
Sing, I always smile when I hear this woman talk. I don't know what it
he
is.
He does. He loves you, Donna.
Well, I'm just sitting here with my hair pulled back in a yoni tail.
In a yoni tail.
Do we want to know what that is?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm afraid to ask.
Yes, well, it's not quite a ponytail. It's a yoni tail. It's not halfway down there, but it's a yoni tail.
Okay.
You know, and my Daisy Dukes. Come on, baby. Kick some daisies. Look at that girl with them Daisy Dukes on.
Oh, yeah. Who was that? That was on the Dukes of Hazzard and some other shows.
Yeah, Daisy. You know, but before Daisy had them, it was called something else, but I can't say that on the air.
Thank you.
So how's everybody doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. How's the weather down there? It's absolutely gorgeous up here.
It is fabulous. It is wonderful.
You know what I wanted to...
I had an amazing weekend.
Well, tell us about it.
Oh, you want me to tell you, don't you? Well, this weekend, I got a glimpse into my future. I didn't need Miss Cleo or any other fortune teller.
Miss Cleo.
All I needed was to go to church with my bestie and let Mama Pearl come in and sit in front of us. Because I told God, if he ever allowed me to reach 80, I was going to make me a special perfume made out of mothballs and Bengay.
Oh,
I sense a punchline coming.
Have you found a punchline? No, ain't no punchline. I am going to make a perfume out of mothballs and Bengay. And that's what old mom smelled like. Good God, it was so strong. And I was like, yes, me at 80, you going to smell me coming with my eau de toilette. That's what I'm going to call it, y'all. I'm going to call it eau de toilette. And when I reach 80, I'm going to make one. I'm going to make a perfume out of Bengay and mothballs.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Well, you're pretty young. That's you got a ways to go. I mean, you probably can't be over 25.
I wish, but I'm hump. It's Wednesday hump day. I'm on the hump.
What does that mean? 40, 50?
I'm 40. I'm 40 plus. So I'm at the hump. I'm almost reaching there. Hump.
Oh, God.
With Daisy Dukes.
Mike.
All right. Well, you know, I'm still learning things about women, apparently.
You are.
Donna, it must have been pretty exciting in your house Saturday night for Ted to watch the big fight.
Oh,
was it? Well, you know what? He didn't even watch it at home. He went down his homies and watched it.
Okay. Well, so he did go somewhere to watch it.
Yeah,
because that's his thing.
It was $100 to see the show.
To see it, yes.
So you get a bunch of guys together, each throwing $10.
Yeah, well, I got my stuff together, put on my pajamas, and went to bed. That's what I did.
Well, I hear it wasn't worth the money. Is that what your guy told you, Donna?
Well, actually, what Teddy told me was the simple fact is Floyd did his job. He did what he came to do, and they paid him to do that, and that's what he did. So I guess, hey, money talks and everything else walks. So he did what he had to do.
Yeah, I can't
know
get
that's
into
right.
it.
I don't mean either.
Nah.
Well,
right.
Daryl listens to it. But.
Well, I didn't watch it, so it didn't bother me anyway. So, y'all, being that it's Mother's Day, I want to give a shout-out, okay, to the best cook in the universe in my book, my mommy, Shirley Mae Earle, not to mention the prettiest girl in the world. I know that's cute, ain't it? I was also blessed to have both of my grandmoms growing up. I spent one of my summers around the age of 13 caring for my dad's mom, who was born in 1905. and she always loved for me to fix her toast, tomato, and butter sandwiches with tea. And still to this day, that's what I'll eat. But I put cayenne pepper and sea salt on mine. And the tomato, y'all, the tomato must come out of Jerry or Roma's garden. Please don't give me no store-bought tomato. It's a negative, all right? Negative, negative. Also, I want to send some heaven kisses, heavenly kisses to my Aunt Topsy, who had me watching cooking shows in the 80s. I can remember this Cajun guy, and he would say, I guarantee. And he would always make these cracker sandwiches, cracker salads. Also, I want to send some air kisses to my grandma Emily, who right now probably is twerking on James Brown. Getting on his good foot. I tell you, that girl got a brand new bag. Yes, she does. Now, my mom's mom, my grandma Jean, she loved to bake. And when we were kids, we always had holiday dinners at her house. And she made these rolls, which we would fight over, just like in the Crescent Roll commercial. But it would go down a little rougher than last week's fight. It was like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier or the Thriller in Manila. We'd be fighting over these rolls. We would be going at it. But if the last roll was in there, it was going to be a problem up in there. So, she got sick with brain cancer. And when she passed away, we was all so upset that we did not get the recipe. Well, after a few months after she passed, my aunt moved out of my grandma's house, and I was helping her clean it out. And she didn't want her cookbooks or her ironing board. And I took both, and I still got them to this day. I put money on it, y'all, that she got them cookbooks out of the Goodwill, because she loved the Goodwill. When she passed away in 1993, I'm pretty sure some of them attended her funeral. But however, you know, I loved it. I'm the same way, because most Wednesdays, I'm have my butt all up in the Salvation Army. That's why I'll be rushing y'all to get off this phone, because I'll be all up in the Salvation Army. Well, anyway, let me finish. One day I was going through her cookbook, and in an old paperback titled The Wonderful Ways to Prepare Food in the Freezer, at the back of the last page, I struck gold. In my grandmother's handwriting was her bread recipe. Oh, yeah, made me want to do the Tootsie Roll, y'all, in my Daisy Dukes. I would do the Tootsie Roll in my Daisy Dukes while my grandma Emily be twerking on James Brown. We got it going on today. Now, I haven't made these rolls yet because I'm afraid of yeast, but I can hear my grandmother say, oh, Basil, ain't nothing to it but to do it. She nicknamed me after that Miss Beasley doll that little girl Buffy had on TV in the late 60s, the early 70s, A Family Affair.
Yeah,
she
I remember
named
that.
Me after. Mm-hmm, that doll. So here it is. Mom Jeans, I'll fight you for that roll recipe.
You'll need right.
A half a cup of sugar. You'll need 2 packets of active dry yeast. You'll need 1.5 teaspoons of salt. You'll need 6.5 to 7.5 cups of unsifted all-purpose flour. You'll need 1.5 cups of butter, and you'll need 3 eggs at room temperature. Now, in a large bowl, you're going to combine your yeast, your sugar, and 2 cups of flour. In a small saucepan, you're going to heat your milk and your butter over low heat until very warm at 120 degrees, no higher than 130. Note, your butter does not have to be completely melted. Now, with a mixer, now, my grandma didn't have a kitchen Cuisinart or one of those nice blenders. She had a blender, a hand blender. So she would mix it on low speed gradually, and she would add liquid to her flour mixture, and she would beat it until it was well mixed. She would increase her speed to medium, beat for 2 minutes. Now, you're going to occasionally scrape that bowl with a rubber spatula. Now, you're going to beat your eggs in, and you're going to add 2 more cups of flour. You're going to mix for 2 more minutes. Turn now. You're going to turn your mixer over. You're going to turn your mixer off. And with a wooden spoon, you're going to stir in enough flour, about 2.5 cups, and to make it stiff. Now, I see why she always had that wooden spoon. I thought it was just used to beat us when we was acting up. But she was actually using it to make her bread. Now, you're going to turn that dough onto a lightly floured surface. You're going to knead for 8 to 10 minutes or until smooth and elastic. You're going to add more flour as needed. Now place your dough into a large greased bowl, and you're going to turn that dough over on all sides. No ashy dough, no ashy kids. She ain't play that. Now you're going to cover with a clean towel. Now here's where it gets good, y'all. Now my mama Jean, she always had clean towel, clean house, and a clean body. She used to pour bleach into her bath water. One time, she poured Lysol cleaner into her bath water, and just say, it didn't turn out too good. Burned her stuff all up. I said, woo, that was no joke. Her stuff was burned up. So, to this day, I do clean my house with bleach, but I don't use it in my bath water. That's a negative. I don't want my stuff burned up.
All right, let's get back to the bread now.
After you cover your dough, what you're going to do is you're going to let it rise in a warm place. Draft-free. She used to set her dough on a high shelf that she had in her kitchen on a wall unit, and that's where she kept the cookbooks, and she also hid money into the cookbooks, but I ain't find no money in those cookbooks. My aunt must have took that out. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to let it rise until it doubles in bulk for about 1 hour or two, and then with a clean finger, you're going to press lightly into that dough so it leaves a dent. Once you got that going on, what you're going to do is punch down that dough, and you're going to turn it onto a lightly floured surface. You're going to knead it for 1 to 2 minutes. You're going to cover that bowl and let that dough rest for about 3 minutes. Once you punch it down, you're going to put it on a floured surface. You're going to knead it for 2 minutes. Then cover the bowl and let that dough rest. You're going to take the bowl, flip the bowl over top of the dough. Then after that for 3 minutes, then you're going to shape your dough into balls, place them into a pan, and let that dough rise. Cover that dough with oil plastic wrap, and that takes about 15 to a half an hour, depending on how hot the room is. If it's hot in here, then you know it's going to rise good. But if it's cold in here, you know you're going to have to wait a little longer. And y'all know that timing is everything, because nobody wants no flat. If you let them rise too much, then you're going to have flat rolls when they're in the oven. So you don't want it. It's got to be just right. So you know that this is an all-day event. You're going to have to do this all day. You can't even go out. So you're just going to have to do this. You're going to have to watch the prices right. You're going to have to watch the news. Then you're going to have to watch the Young and the Restless, All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, and Ryan's Hope, just like my grandmother did. Once that came on, Captain Kangaroo was shut off, and we only had one TV in that house. So we had to watch all these shows all day long. It wasn't no playing outside. It was watch TV and sit down because her soaps was on. So when she was making this bread, so you're going to preheat your oven to 375. You're going to brush those rolls with melted butter, and you're going to bake until golden brown for about 15 to 18 minutes. Now, y'all, remember my grandmother made me go online. I went online, and I found me a Miss Beasley's doll. And when she comes in, I'm going to sit my doll in my kitchen, get over my fear of yeast, and I'm going to make my grandmother's rolls. And I'm going to see if I got people fighting over my rolls. King!
I love that. Yeah!
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes,
awesome.
I love, you know, we will fight over them.
So
that's
here's
the thrill of the maneuver.
All right, so here's something. You talked about not finding any money in the pages of your grandma's old cookbooks.
Yeah.
Well, I just read recently, do you know where Joan Rivers used to keep her money when she would be out traveling or just anywhere in her purse?
I just read that.
She probably kept it in the crack of her boobies.
No, no.
In a box of milk duds,
that's right.
Right.
An empty box
of milk.
No, milk duds, the candy.
Duds.
She would take the candy out, and that would be her wall. No, we're talking milk duds. Right, the candy. And also her daughter, Melissa Rivers, is, you know, finding other things around the house now that her mom has passed away. I saw a stat that Joan Rivers had something like 400-plus plastic surgeries over the course of her life.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So there you go.
Yeah,
that's
but I believe that she was stuffing in the milk duds. But my grandma used to stuff money everywhere. But I ain't find no money in those cookbooks because my aunt probably went through them and she did what she had to do. Wasn't no money, but I did struck gold. Yo, I found a recipe and it was in her handwriting. And I was just so fortunate to have that. And I even photocopied them and I gave them to my cousins and everything. So I was like, thanks, Grandma. She rocked. She was the best grandma that a girl could ever have. She was all that.
Yeah, I have to admit that my love of, because I make bread, you know, from scratch.
You do?
I make some bread. I do. And
what
and
kind
I have
of bread
to,
you make?
God, I make brioche. I do cinnamon rolls.
Damn.
I do.
Getting fancy.
I do baguettes, dinner rolls.
Baguette. Wow, Mike, I'm impressed.
I even do some challah bread.
You ain't bagging. You ain't making no baguettes.
I'm making baguettes, girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, you know who I am now to you, Mike? Because you might have had a mom, right? Now what? I'm your fine mama.
Oh.
So I expect. You hear me? I expect something at my door this weekend.
Well, see, the reason I mention that, not to brag that I make bread, because a lot of people do, but the fact that my interest in it was because my grandmother made homemade bread at a time when all we had was that god-awful white bread that you can still buy. And so when I got a hold of that, I loved it. And, of course, she's been gone for probably 20 years, and I think the recipe was in her head. And I keep trying to hope that someday I come upon the way that it tastes like hers, but it ain't going to happen. So it's just going to live on in my memory.
There you go.
I'm glad that I actually kept those that book, it was like, it looked like a paperback, and it was all tore up, and it looked like she probably only paid like 80 cents for that that book. It was a cheap book, but in the back of it was her very own handwriting for her bread recipe. And then I found an old clipping that she had, and it matched, so I knew exactly what to do with it. So I was like, all right, you hollering at your girl. She was hollering at me from heaven, like, here it goes, Beazle. Here it goes. I'm going to run it down for you, baby. Here goes my bread recipe. So I was like, I struck gold. I said, even though I ain't find no money in there, I found something worth more than money. Her handwriting and her bread recipe. So I'm going to have somebody fighting, you hear me, over my roll.
Well, if you have a copy of that recipe, Donna, I'd love to get it so we could put it on foodforthoughtnh.com.
I'm going to give it to you so that the world can have fighting over Mama Jeans. I'll fight you for
there
that
you
role.
Go. And if you have a picture of them, that would be even better.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So. I told you, once I get over my fear, me and Miss Beasley gonna be in here making this bread. We're gonna have it. We're gonna work it up, Miss Beasley, and guess what? She talks.
I used to have a Mrs. Beasley, too. Really? I loved her. Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait until she comes. I made Teddy order for me. I said, Teddy, I want this style. I also ordered me some Holly Hobby fabric, because I'm going to make me some Holly Hobby pillowcases, because I remember my other grandmother gave me Holly Hobby pillowcases, and
really?
I wore them pillowcases out. So I'm going definitely, I went online and I saw Holly Hobby fabric, so I'm going to make me some Holly Hobby pillowcases, and me and Miss Beasley going to be in here making rolls.
Wait a minute, did they still sell Mrs. Beasley?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I went on Ashton and Drake, the collectible website,
and they actually
sell the replica of Miss Beasley, and she talks. You pull the string and she talks.
Yeah, in the back. Yeah.
Yep, and it has the original voice in there.
That's cool, because I have a Mr. French doll at home, and when you pull the string, he makes dinner for me.
What? You pull it? What? You string?
Never mind. Never mind.
What kind of string you pull it? Well, all I know is my flowers better be at my door, because remember, you got to find mama that you got to make sure she gets some flowers this weekend.
All right. We got to work up to that. I think, is that the end of the segment, Carol?
Is that the end? Well,
yeah,
I want to say Happy Mother's Day, and I want to give a shout out to my favorite aunt, Marguerite, in the whole wide world, because she's the best Aunt Reedy in the whole wide world. I want to give a shout out to my mommy Dump, who can make some banging chicken dumplings, and my girl, my homegirl Pooh, who is a great mom, and Miss Lewis, who is the funniest lady you ever want to meet. And to all the moms out there who made Donna's Delight, because you remember, life is for living and food is for giving, and Donna's out of here.
Bye, Donna.
Bye, Donna. Wow. There's another one for the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, Carol.
It is.
Her Only on the Pulse.
Only on the Pulse.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought, right? Who would have thought?
She is a star in the making.
She is.
Yeah.
You know, she really could have her own show. I mean, she definitely could. She's
got to rope her in once in a while.
And no
more Lysol baths, please.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what we need to do in a couple minutes? Besides bringing our next guest, is to qualify somebody for the Pulse's Mother's Day gift.
So let's do that.
We'll do that. I guess we can do that now going into the break.
Let's do it now going into the break.
And then we can get that taken care of. All right, here we go. It's now time to take a qualifier for the Pulse's Mother's Day contest. A grand prize winner, your mom or somebody's mom, wins an overnight stay at the Gunstock Inn in Guilford, complete with dinner and spa services. So if you're caller number four right now, that's caller four at 866-823-1077. That's, I guess I should say 1077, right? 866-823-1077. We'll give you a gift certificate to use at the Gunstock Inn. It's a $30 gift certificate to use at the Inn's Candlelight Salon and Spa. You'll also be entered to go into the grand prize draw, which takes place this coming Friday. Again, caller 4 at 866-823-1077.
Beautiful. And you're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break, and we are going to be in studio with Chef Patrick. I think we're going to be talking veggies. So I'm excited to chat with Chef Patrick.
Smells a little bit like bleach today. I'm not sure what that's like.
I know, bleach and Lysol. I don't know. All right, stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
All right, welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this gorgeous day. And you're going to give a shout out to some sponsors there, Mike?
I think I will. To keep us on the air, New England Coffee, one of the sponsors of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And who else haven't we given love to today? Oh, I know, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company, and Rocco is a rock star, as you found out last night.
A rock star.
Cinco de Mayo at Puerto Vallarta, huh?
It was very fun, and I was really impressed. They did a great job. They did a really, really great job, and it was lots of people and all that. So, and also just let people know that Sunny from Concord is the qualifier for Mother's Day, the big Mother's Day package. So that's all done. So that's good.
The winner will be selected Friday. Sunny and all the other names will be in
Friday morning. So, yeah, that'll be great. Great package. So let's welcome on Chef Patrick.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome
Hi,
back.
Chef.
Oh, like, thanks for having me back.
You know, how do you like following Donna?
It's kind of hard coming in here following that, you know? So it's, you know, I love listening to her because I'm standing here listening right along with you guys. And it's like, I'm standing here just wondering, you know, what she's going to say. And you know, like,
I know we're in anticipation all the time. Like, what is she going to come up with?
Do you have
with
a delete
that?
Button over there? You know, a delay button or whatever.
Hopefully
it is,
Bob has his finger on it back
That's right. It's not my license.
No, just kidding. Yeah. No, so she's, but she's got a good knowledge base, which is what I love, you know. You know, and you start talking, you know, especially what she was talking about, you know, having your grandmother's recipes. I got tons of cookbooks not tons of cookbooks, but I have some special cookbooks to me because my grandfather was a chef, and some of his old school cookbooks that were there. And you, like I said, and my grandmother's still alive, and she has a house, and she said, you know, like, you know, when you clean out my house someday when I'm gone, she says, you better open every book because there's probably money in it. It's one of those things. So
that is hilarious.
It's funny how similar, you know, like I said, things are with amongst families,
you know,
and things like
after
that.
After hearing you say that, and Donna, I think I'm going to go to Salvation Army today.
Go check out.
And just buy all the old books I can find, bring them home.
Hey, you might find some treasures in there, you know, beyond the cookbooks. But
right.
You know, if you ever take a look at some of those old recipes and how they're worded, and it's just so fascinating because it's you look at these recipes and they're really good recipes, and they're from someone's grandmother or someone's great grandmother. And that's the best thing that I love about cooking is such the nostalgia that's inside that, and to have that relationship with your family and what you used to eat and all sorts of things. That's so great.
You know,
so.
When you say that's a good recipe, how do you decipher that? Like what does it mean to have a good recipe?
A good recipe is, you know, like I said, it's something that came from, like, I would take a look at a recipe and I'd be like, okay, there's a billion recipes. You know, let's say macaroni and cheese. All right. That's unique. And one of those things is, like, you know, they might have a different ingredient in there. You know, like my grandmother used to make macaroni and tomato with macaroni and cheese. And everybody's got their different way. And I remember my grandfather used to make this mac and cheese that was just killer. And my dad does it too. And so, but he used to use this really sharp, he was a Vermonter. So he used to use this very sharp cheddar cheese. And so that's what I've always, you know, kind of utilized all the time. So that's what
Chef Patrick, what's your go-to cookbook? Do you have one that seems to have most of your favorites in it?
I don't use many cookbooks anymore.
I was that good.
Once you become a chef and you start learning the cook techniques, you start making your own recipes, but it's hard. When you take a look at a cookbook, you know, and I always show my students this, you know, they have a recipe, and when you start cooking, you start utilizing recipes, but you get too used to it. So when you're cooking, baking is essential. You know, you can't just put a handful of whatever.
science.
Like I've said in the past. But, you know, like I said, if you're, you know, a lot of students will get this recipe and they'll hold this recipe and they're like, oh, I just cut just at least, you know, 2 ounces of onions because that's all I need. 2 ounces of garlic. And I'll come over. I'll be like, here, just put that in there. Put that in there. You know, and it's like, okay, well, what if I put too many peas in there? Well, I guess I hope you better like peas.
You know,
so that's
right. You know what I like to do? And, you know, when I go to do a recipe, I'll look up a recipe. And then I'll look up like 4 or 5 different recipes of the same thing, and I'll pick and choose from each one.
Exactly.
That's what I like about
That's what I like about recipes too, because you can pick up ideas. And like I said, you know, people look at you to see like, oh, what's the recipe for, you know, chicken parm? Well, there could be 5 different recipes.
Right.
You know, Carol could do her own thing, you know, and you could do your own. It's just, you know, you pick and choose and then you make it your own.
Right.
You know, so, you know, use your own sauce or use, you know, something different. And that's, you know, that's what cooking is. And that's what recipes are. But get the basic, you know, I tell the students, I said, you know, take a look at the recipe, read it through, get the gist of what you're making, and then make your own. They're like, chef, can I add, you know, can I add extra? Yeah, absolutely. Let's try this.
Right.
And that's how you learn.
What's really great, because we have all this online, you know, allrecipes.com and foodnetwork.com and the list goes on. What's really great is I like to see after a recipe what the people who've made it have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times they'll have some valuable input that, and when you see 3 or 4 people say, well, maybe cut back a little bit on the dried mustard next time, when enough people are making the same comment,
comments, say
there's probably some validity to that.
It is. And like I always tell my students, I said, don't be afraid to play around with the recipe. Because a lot of times, and like, you know, I brought that cookbook in there and I said, you know, the recipes are okay in there because they don't always come out because, you know, chefs kind of write their own recipes. So they're kind of imagine like, oh, yeah, that's probably like a quarter an ounce of oil or whatever it is, you know. But I said, don't be afraid to play with it, you know, because, you know, that's the way you learn from it. You know, it's like, who cares if, you know, if you didn't made a mistake, you know. So recipes are a guide.
Well, how long did it take for you to get to the point where you said basically you don't use cookbooks because you're so well versed and you've just done it so many times? You know, I don't veer off too much and I really want to become more adventurous. Any advice?
Yeah, go work in a restaurant when you got to feed 400 people. Those recipes go out the window real quick when your chef's yelling at you and you know, and I did that one time when I was working at a breakfast place and I was looking, you know, I was making hollandaise, and of course I'm all cocky coming out of culinary school. My chef is like, he's like, okay, we're gonna make hollandaise, we're gonna, you know, better prep it up ahead of time. I'm going to do it to order for, you know, 2
hollandaise.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And he looks at me and he's just smiling. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it to order. Okay. So after the breakfast rush and, you know, I'm all done and I'm sweating and I made about 200 hollandaise to order. He's laughing. He goes, hey, you want to go put it in that RoboCoop now and take my advice from me? I'm like, yes, I do.
That's a good one.
So you learn, you know, so there's different ways to skin a cat, you know, so, and that's the way it is.
You don't cook that too.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to try it, but no.
No, I'm just kidding. No, he didn't mean that.
Carol, just give me the stare.
I'm like, Well, I thought I liked you.
We should mention that Chef Patrick is an instructor at Lakes Region Community College, and you're also a chef at the Shaker's Table.
Yep,
correct?
Shaker's Table. Yeah, yep. We open up on we'll probably open up in October, so we're closed for the season now. Our students are based on you know, our students coming back, so they're going to be on break till for the summer, and they'll come back in October. Give them a few weeks to get in there, and we'll start opening up the restaurant Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 11:30.
At the school, you mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just for lunch.
At Shaker Table,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's
where the classes are conducted.
Yep. Okay.
Yes. You partner with them.
Yeah, we partnered with them, and it's a great partnership. Like I said, we're also partnered with Concord Co-op. And
so they're feeding the customers, essentially, right? Okay.
Full course dinner, super salad, entree, dessert for a total of $9. It's a rough job, but you know
someone has to do it,
you know. So.
But what a beautiful setting! I just love sitting out on that. Like flagstone patio.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, where the tables go back and forth and just look out over the farmland and some of the buildings.
Especially in October, you come out and you sit out there and it's like, you know, I'm like, this is my office right here, you know? So
what a nice partnership that is that happens.
And, you know, in the Shakers, we're all about, you know, sustainability. So, you know, that's the huge thing. We're going to start growing our own food. There's 500 acres. They used to be the largest dairy farm in New England back in the day. And so they brought a lot of that too. So we make our own cheeses. You know, I have a whole class on cheese making. Go down to a local dairy farmer, get fresh, you know, fresh milk. I have herbs growing right out my back door. And we can access all of it. They have apple trees. They have, like I said, mulberry trees. They have gooseberries out there.
Do you sell any of that cheese you make to the public, or is it just for consumption in the restaurant?
Just for consumption in the restaurant. Okay. You know, like I said, I teach the students, and you know, our cheese making class is kind of like, that's kind of, cheese takes a while to make, so the students have a very short attention span. So usually I have them start it, and then we, you know, we curdle it, and then we make the cheese, and then we let it age. So I'll make a few small batches, but you know, it would be a great world if we could do it and sell it to the public, but we just don't have enough time, you know, with the students, and it's usually one section or one class.
We should also let listeners know that, you know, if you are, no matter how old you are, there's always courses that are offered there, lrcc.com. LRCC.edu. Sorry. Yep. Lakes Region Community College. And, yep, you know, you can take one class, a couple classes. And,
that's right.
You know.
I mean, we have everybody that's, you know, we have a kid that's 16 years old in our class. And then I have people that are 70 in my class that just come because they want to cook and they love it. So it's a great opportunity. It's a beautiful property. And like I said, I can't say enough about it. And,
boy, that's a tempting thought for me who, you know, has been cooking for a few years, but clearly I need to kind of accelerate my learning curve.
There you go.
And at the same time, you know, and it's a little bit different than a workshop. We do workshops there too with Shaker Village, but the class itself is a 3-credit course, so it's 16 weeks long. So if you want to join the class, as far as that, you get 3 college credits on top of that. But other than that, if you just wanted short little bursts, you want to wait for the workshops, you know. So, but you can always.
Now, give me an example of some of the workshops, like what types of workshops?
I did one, I did 3 this year. I did one on stews and chowders.
Go do one of those.
Yes, I did one on pasta making, and I did one on braised dishes. We did braised short ribs. I did a braised chicken dish, you know, and I did several different dishes. And what I'll do is generally with a workshop, I do the majority of the cooking and I just explain to, I say, all right, everybody gather around and take a look at this, you know, and then I have it all prepared. And then after everybody sits down, eats and chats about it. So.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Stonewall Kitchen does that. Have you ever been to one of those?
I love Stonewall Kitchen.
You feel like you want to get a little more involved, but you realize that's, you know, kind of what you're talking about. You're going to do the work, but if we're paying attention, we're going to pick up some pointers.
Exactly. A lot of people want to. It's one thing if you're doing it, because if I spread everybody out and everybody has, you know, several, like in cooking class, you know, it's hard to get everybody's attention because you want to see everything, but it's impossible to have one person do everything. You know, but if I have a whole, you know, group of people and I do it and demo that in a workshop setting, they gain more because they can take notes and then they can go home and try it at home, you know, so it works out well. You know?
Yeah, Chef, you're talking about, you make, when you can, your own, your own cheeses for the restaurant consumption. Yep. Is it my imagination or is there more goat cheese made in this state than there is cow?
You're correct. You know, and the reason why that is because it's a fresh and it's an easy cheese to make. Soft cheeses are easy to make. You can make ricotta cheese at home. Very easy, very simple. It's a matter of taking a gallon of milk, simmering it, bringing it to like 78 degrees and putting a couple tablespoons of, apple cider vinegar and a little lemon juice. It curdles and then you pass it through cheesecloth. Done deal. You
have ricotta.
That's how simple it is. And I have it a lot of times in my Italian cooking class. That's what we do. And then you just salt it and then add a little cream to it.
How much time? Is it ready immediately?
Yeah, probably like you can.
You want to chill it at all?
Or? Yeah, you probably want to chill it. Or if you're going to make a lasagna, you bake it right off. And it's the best lasagna you ever had.
Isn't that cool, Mike?
Because you made it
is.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Can you just say that one more time?
Yeah. You take milk, like whole milk, and you bring it to a simmer. All right. And what I do is I take a couple tablespoons of apple cider vinegar and a little bit of lemon juice. You don't want too much because you don't want it to taste like vinegar, but just enough till it heats up to about 80 degrees and the temperature and the acidity break it down and curdle it.
Oh.
And then you pass it through cheesecloth in a strainer, and then you've made yourself ricotta cheese. That same similar when you make hard cheese, is you use like animal rennet is a stomach acid, but they also have a vegetarian kind too. And once you drain that curd, you put it in a press and you press it overnight, and then once it forms that brick of cheese, then you go ahead and you cryovac it and let it age. So I got a batch of
interesting.
I got a batch of Gouda and a cheddar right now, aging. It's going to be a year coming up in September. So I put it in cryovac and put it in the fridge.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. So it'll be good.
You could bring little samples, just a little.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, when they're all ready.
So,
it's good. You know, so I love doing that. And like I said, Shaker Village, so many resources around there that we can have. So, and a lot of people, like I said, you know, being part of community college nowadays, I went to Johnson Wales University, and it's a great school, you know what I'm saying? But some of these schools cost a lot of money. So we're your local community college, and
that's
a fraction
right.
of the cost right
that's
down
exactly
the road.
Exactly right. You know? And so, you got Chef Patrick training
that's
you.
That's
my
it.
Goodness.
But would some go after getting some college credits and then maybe finish up at Johnson & Wales?
Oh, yeah.
Just to get that credential behind them?
That's an excellent. We have articulations with Johnson & Wales, NECI, so people can take our associate's degree and go on and get their bachelor's right at their university. So we have that partnership because we realize, you know, not everybody can afford, you know, a major university, right. Southern New Hampshire University we have with, too. So that's important.
And with, don't know if this is going to happen, President Obama's program to try to have community college be tuition-free if you meet certain criteria and standards. So, you know, maybe that'll happen down the road to just to make the other end of your education a little more affordable.
It is. And, you know, and I think, you know, the politicians and, you know, like I said, we're talking about nowadays, they realize if a student buries themselves in college debt nowadays, they're not going to be able to add back into the economy. They're not going to be able to go out to eat. They're not going to be able to buy cars and things like that because they're going to have.
Yeah, they're just paying the banks back, and that their bottom line is growing. Nobody else's.
Exactly. So I hope that does happen. There was also some talk in the state of New Hampshire, I don't know about community colleges offering bachelor's degrees too, but you know, so I've heard a whole bunch of stuff in the news, and who knows what's going to happen, but you know, it looks good. You know, hopefully if everybody can educate themselves, it's a better world, you know. Yep. So
all right, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 FM. We are in studio with Chef Patrick Hall, culinary director of Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village, and we're going to go on a short break. When we come back, I think we're going to talk veggies.
Oh, yes.
And I'm dying to hear about your salad that you had.
Yes, absolutely.
So I need some tips, and I need a dinner idea for tonight. So stay tuned. Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Gorgeous day out there, and I also want to remind listeners about Hippo de Mayo, the big taco challenge tomorrow that is happening in the streets of downtown, Elm Street and extensions of that from 4 to 9, and there's also going to be People's Choice voting, and Mike and I, you and I will be broadcasting live out in front of the Beacon Building from 6:30 to 8.
This is what we will call Food for Thought after dark.
There you go.
Unplugged.
And J-Dog is so excited about coming down. He will be here about 5:30, and he's going to set us up outside for our remote, and then he's going to go off and try some tacos. And you know who he's doing it with? He's doing it with Ella. Remember Ella that sits in with Ken Cale sometimes?
Oh, really? Yeah, I like her.
Yes.
So here's what he needs to be prepared to do. Besides sampling, he will also be in charge of finding guests for us.
Yes.
Because there'll be tons of people that probably would be great that we won't even know are there. He needs to bring those people to us. Otherwise, it's you and me talking for an hour and a half. And that's something nobody should have to endure. Unless Chef Patrick wants to come down.
Yeah, I'll come down. I'll throw in. I'll take about 15 minutes of your time.
listeners, you know, if you are going to be on the taco tour, come and say hi to us. You know, come by our table and, you know, shout out to us, you know, who you are and that you listen to the show. So that should be fun. Tomorrow the mayor will be in too.
Lunch with the mayor, yeah.
Lunch with the mayor tomorrow.
And you've got the lunch menu in your head, what he'll be served?
I have the lunch menu, but I can't say it because it's going to be a surprise.
All right.
Remember?
I do.
Don't give it away.
I will not. I promise
not to.
I'm
just teasing. All right. So, Chef Patrick, let's talk vegetables.
So, yesterday, I'm starving because I'm, you know, like I said, I'm going on my diet. I was inspired by Carol as I'm watching, you know, seeing on Facebook all her workout videos. So I said, I'm going to get to the gym. I'm going to start eating. So I want to eat more vegetables and things like that. So I had this chicken kebab salad, and it had feta, and it had olives, and it had Greek dressing, and it was excellent. You know, it's just something that I was starving. It hit the spot right when I had it, and it was ready. I pulled into the 99. It was just a fresh salad, and I'm like, oh man, you know, I forget, you know, like until you diet, like how much you really like vegetables. You know, I'm such a carb freak with pasta and different things like that, that I'm like, wow, geez. I'm like, you know, why this? I'm so satisfied. I'm so full with just this salad. It's very simple. It's got chicken. It's got, you know, feta cheese in it. It's got olives, you know, fresh cucumbers, fresh ingredients. And I'm just like, I'm like, like, why don't I just eat this all the time, you know? But, you know, hey. You
so
know.
A chicken kebab salad.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Greek salad with chicken, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Very simple, you know, so, and it was great, you know. So.
You know what I've been using a lot of, because I've been making my mason jar salads. I make them, like, ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I have them for the week. And is the mini cucumbers.
Oh,
I don't like the big cucumbers.
No.
I'm really into the mini ones now. You know, they're like, okay. Maybe, you know, an
smaller
inch in diameter.
Yeah,
I think they call them, like, Chinese cucumbers or something like that.
They're
it's
so
weird.
Good.
But I always get I get the English cucumbers.
Right.
Because there's no seeds. See, I'm a big, that's the thing about vegetables that I hate.
Wait a minute. What kind are those?
They're wrapped in plastic all the time.
Oh.
You've seen them.
Yes, I have.
They're seedless cucumbers.
They taste the same, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
same.
They do.
They taste better. I think there's more meat to them, so because of the seeds and stuff like that. But the one thing that I hate about eating vegetables is eating something like seeds. Like I said, my mother would be able to go out into the garden, pick a tomato with a salt shaker, bite into it, and eat it. And I love tomatoes. I hate raw tomatoes because they just
really?
The feeling of
this is
the
an OCD
seeds.
Thing, or is it?
No, it's a mouthfeel thing.
Oh.
You know, like I love the taste of it. I don't like the seeds that explode. You know, when you eat vegetables, you know, as far as that goes. So
zucchini vegetables. Is not a favorite unless you get.
No,
the
it is, but unless it's the small ones.
Okay.
All my vegetables I love are small. So I grew up in Western Massachusetts. And the area that I grew up, you know, the Hatfield-Hadley area was a huge agricultural area. I grew up picking corn and cucumbers and things like that as first jobs and things like that. And they have the best corn there. One of the other things that they're known for is their asparagus. And I don't know if you guys like asparagus.
Love asparagus.
I love asparagus. But now, do you like thick asparagus?
No.
It's thin,
yes,
right?
Yes, I've been that trained. Is... My father, you know, he would always get asparagus, and he brings it up to me. He also brings up corn. He's probably listening. Hello, John Hall. How are you? You know, so I had to say that, you know. But bring me some corn. Not now, but, you know, later in the season. So, but the little pencil, nothing bigger than a pencil.
Right, exactly.
You know, because and it's going to be cooked perfectly.
There's nothing
worse.
Do you
just like to steam it slightly al dente?
Yeah,
or?
Just barely. Yeah. Just starts to turn that bright green. Get it out.
Yes.
I always
yes.
roast mine.
Yeah, yeah.
I roast it.
A little balsamic, maybe.
I put a little olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and some pine nuts, and roast it in the oven.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yum. With
that's
a little cayenne, salt, and pepper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, simple. Simple
very
is better.
Simple,
you know, so.
Very simple. Very
simple. Same thing with the asparagus.
I think we can continue this conversation of veggies next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we didn't really touch upon it too
I'll
much.
Bring some in. Asparagus, how I eat it.
Oh,
hey. Does that sound good?
You got a deal.
I think that sounds very good.
All right.
That's a deal. All right. You are listening to Food for Thought. Up next is Kale and Company. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye.